The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. All righty then. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Sunday, the day after the big middle jewel of the Triple Crown. We welcome you to the show. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world right here at the South Point Studios Network, streaming at YouTube from the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard here in the fabulous gaming capital. We welcome you to the show. It is a beautiful day in our neighborhood. 76 degrees right out now. Sun is shining. Sky is beautiful. 97 we're going to get up to today. We're getting in that range. We're getting in the range between the mid and high 90s. We did have our first 100 degree weather the other day, but I think we're going to stick around in the 90s right now for a while here in Las Vegas, just in case you want to come on up and enjoy the weekends with us. And by the way, coming up next weekend is the Memorial Day weekend. So we got a lot going on over that Memorial Day weekend, that's for sure. We're going to have a special Memorial Day Monday show, by the way. As we often do, we're having a Monday Memorial Day show because there's a whole bunch of racetracks that are running on the Big Three Memorial Day weekend. But that's ahead. We want to welcome all of our listeners that are running around town, maybe listening to us on our anchor radio station here, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, and of course all the other platforms that we have, like our website streaming at racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android. We got that covered, too, with the KSHP app that you can hear us and the YouTube app that you can hear us and see us on your iPhones or your Androids, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We're there, and we welcome you to the show, however, wherever, whenever you get us. All righty. Well, it was a big day yesterday for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown at Pimlico Racecourse, and, of course, we were dealing with the weather throughout the weekend, throughout Friday and Saturday. It looked like it was going to be kind of okay yesterday when we started out the races, but actually it was just like rain on and off all day. And as we got closer to the Preakness Stakes yesterday, the rain came down again. So the track was sealed. It looked okay for the first couple of races, but then by the time we got to the dirt races near the Preakness Stakes and the Preakness Stakes itself, the rain came down again and the track was sloppy. Simply put, that's the way it was. As far as the turf course is concerned, well, that turf course was soft, and it was soft going all day long on the grass course. But it was a great day of racing out there at Pimlico. We will not have a Triple Crown winner this year. No, we won't. Okay? Dan ran second to the gray horse, Sees the Gray, who seized the track early in the race and went gate to wire. They never caught him, for trainer D. Wayne Lucas. Yep. 88-year-old coach D. Wayne Lucas. And what a celebration that was there. We'll talk about that a little bit later on with John and Jonathan as well. But simply put, now we have no Triple Crown winner. We'll get to the results of the races at the Pimlico a little bit later on, too. But I just wanted to give you an update. The handle for the Preakness Day card was pretty flat. It wasn't, just about went to Hoyle, so to speak. But, of course, you had all the rain and all that and the bad weather that, had a lot of people that were not playing like they would on a beautiful fast track and firm course day. But all in all, with all the pick fives, pick fours, and all the pools they had, they did well in the Preakness yesterday. And now we look forward to the Belmont Stakes. The Belmont Stakes will be held at Saratoga Racecourse. It'll be shortened to a mile and a quarter. It happens on Saturday, June 8th. That day, there will be 9 stakes races in addition to the Belmont Stakes. And we will do now what we're seeming to be like a tradition on this show. We're going to be doing our same seminar that we did with John and Jonathan yesterday for the Preakness. And, of course, during the Kentucky Derby, we're going to do it for the Belmont as well. We'll have that seminar on our shows that week in the morning. Come Belmont Stakes Day, we'll turn John and Jonathan loose on all 9 stakes races. And, of course, the day before the pre-stakes races, there's going to be a big festival there at Saratoga the week of the Belmont. A lot of stakes races, and we'll have our handicappers, Jonathan Ardoon and John Lendo, go over those races for you. Because, believe me, they hit it out of the park yesterday. John Lendo had a phenomenal day as far as the seminar was concerned, and we'll get to that in a little bit as well. So we're going to do the same thing here when we come up to the Belmont Stakes. Now, some of the horses that didn't run yesterday in the Preakness Stakes that ran in the Kentucky Derby, like one of the horses in the three-way photo finish, Sierra Leone, is back training, pointing towards the Belmont Stakes. Honor Marie, who got absolutely massacred coming out of the starting gate in the Kentucky Derby, skipped the Preakness yesterday. That one's back on the racetrack and training for the Belmont Stakes. And Fierceness, the big bomb favorite that ran up the track in the Kentucky Derby, he's pointing for the Belmont Stakes as well. We'll wait and see if Mystic Dan, who finished second, a credible second yesterday in the Preakness Stakes, will go on to the Belmont. We'll wait and see about that. But, you know, when we heard all of the criticism about the trainers and the complexion of the game, how it's changed, and how it's going to be more difficult for horses to come back 2 weeks later in the Preakness and then 3 weeks later in the Belmont. Every time that comes up, it seems that it's that gets put in the back shelf by the performances on the racetrack. If you remember, when California Chrome was going for the Triple Crown, he got beat in the Belmont Stakes. His owner declared that there will never be another Triple Crown winner because it's too grueling for horses these days to go the 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and then, you know, the 3 week interval, 2 week interval, and then 3 week interval between the three races covering 5 weeks. And then what happens? The next year, American Pharoah wins the Triple Crown. Well, this year they were saying the same thing about the Derby 2 weeks with the Preakness being 2 weeks later. How, you know, all of those horses in the Derby, only a few of them, a couple of them made it to the Preakness Stakes. Well, here's the deal. The first three finishers in the Preakness Stakes yesterday ran on Kentucky Derby Day. The winner won the Pat Day Mile on Derby Day 2 weeks prior. And of course, as you know, Mystic Dan won the Kentucky Derby. He ran second. And the third place finisher in the race also ran on Derby Day. So you can see that is now being set to rest. One casualty a bit in the Preakness Stakes, and this goes in the old saying in horse racing, you have your highs and your lows just like you do in life in horse racing. Well, yesterday, trainer Dwayne Lucas, the coach, 88 years old, who had two horses in the Preakness Stakes, won the Preakness Stakes with Seize the Gray that went wire to wire. But his other horse, Just Steal, sustained an injury. Just Steal sustained a condylar fracture. He's going to Rudin Riddle for surgery to correct the condylar fracture. So for right now, the only horse that we know had any problems at all in the race as far as physically was Just Steal in that race. So we wish their connections well. It's kind of a really long stretch of emotions for the coach yesterday, that's for sure. But the one thing he did say in the post-race interview that I think sums it all up in horse racing and the community of horse racing is this. He said as he was making his way from his location where he watched the race to the winner's circle for the winner's circle celebration, he said every one of the competing trainers along the way went up to him, shook his hands, hugged him, and congratulated him. And that's the sportsmanship that's really it's all about, that's for sure. All right, on today's show, we do have Jonathan Hardoon, Rich Eng, John Lendo, and Jerry J. Of course, a recap of the races at Pimlico and in your racing menu as well. Just taking a quick look at other racetracks that happened yesterday, Santa Anita conducted the Misdirection Stakes. That winner there was Miss Lizzie. Antonio Frasu was winning his third race of the day. Doug O'Neill trainee paid $12 even there. There was one ticket that hit the pick six yesterday at Santa Anita, paid $49,262.40 for that one ticket, winning the pick six yesterday at Santa Anita. At Belmont at Aqueduct, there is a pick six carryover. Nobody had six. Five out of six paid $5,190.50 for the fives. Big priced winner, the biggest priced winner of the day, really, was $19.60 in the vacancy handicap. The winner there, Leave No Trace for Jose Lascano and Phil Serpy. That was Lascano's second win. $19.60, highest price on the card, but still created a carryover. The second in that race was Big Pond. Third was Hot Fudge in the vacancy yesterday at Aqueduct. And as far as all of you gamers that hung around yesterday after the Preakness, after all the races at Santa Anita, and then went on to Churchill Downs with a 3 p.m. Pacific post time, 6 o'clock there, and 11 races, I'll tell you what, you guys are gamers. Jose Ortiz had four wins on the card. The Louisville Stakes was won by Sugo. Julien Le Perreux aboard paying $41.50. That big upset trained by Mike Maker. But boy, I got to tell you, folks, if you were hanging around for all those races at Churchill, I give you a lot of credit for that. All right, time to get started for this Sunday show. When we come back, we'll have our handicappers. We'll recap the Preakness Day card with Jonathan Hardoon. And, of course, you got your racing menu, etc. So don't go away. On the day after the Preakness Stakes, this Sunday, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okay, back on race day for this Sunday. Just taking a look ahead, as we say, coming up this weekend is the Memorial Day weekend. They'll be racing all through Memorial Day Monday. We'll be here with a special Monday Memorial Day show as well. Next week, we go Wednesday through the Monday Memorial Day card. And as far as next weekend, man, there's a slew of stakes races. Santa Anita will be stacked up on Saturday. And I got to tell you, on Sunday, several stakes races on Sunday. And then, of course, Monday Memorial Day. Big racing day, Monday Memorial Day, with a lot of racing going on there, and we'll try to cover it all for you right here on the Race Day Show. Right now, what we're going to do is cover your racing menu for today. Here's the racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook Simulcast Center's racetracks around the country. I want to remind you, as we always do, the first post time to broadcast on the show each and every day reflect out of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas. These will be the first post times that roll out in our racebook here at South Point, which was crowded to the gills yesterday for the Preakness Stakes. The first post times are Pacific. So, if you're listening here in Las Vegas, no problem. If you're listening in the Pacific time zone, no problem. But with all of the platforms that we have, we know we're around the world in different time zones. So, wherever you're at, if you're in another time zone, adjust to the Pacific time zone so you don't miss anything. Like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? First post times are Pacific. We start out with Churchill Downs. Now, believe it or not, they wind up real late last night at Churchill Downs, and they're the first racetrack to get started today. First post time at Churchill Downs for their nine race card is at 9:45. 9:45 at Churchill Downs today. My, oh, my. Monmouth Park from the shores of New Jersey. Their feature race today is the $85,000 John J. Riley Stakes. It'll be the fifth race on the 10-race card. Six furlongs for three-year-olds and up. Monmouth Park's first post time is 9:50. Their pick six jackpot carryover, $41,427. First post time, 9:50. Then you have Belmont at Aqueduct. Remember, they got a carryover in their pick six today at Belmont at Aqueduct. And so first post time is 10:05. 10:05, first post at Aqueduct. And the track is fast. The turf courses are firm. You'll have the outer turf course hosting races 5 and 8. The inner turf course will have races 3 and 9. Fast, fast, firm, firm. That's the deal there. And the carryover in the pick 6. You ready for this? Pick 6 carryover at Aqueduct today? $103,065.81. And remember, it's a $1 base bet. Okay? Two-day carryover there. Over $103,000 at Belmont at Aqueduct. First post time is at 10:05. Their feature race today is the $150,000 Paradise Creek Stakes for three-year-olds on the outer turf course at 6 furlongs. 9 go to the post before scratches. Good wide-open event. 5-2 favorite there is Sketch with Flavian Pratt aboard. First post time with the carryover, 10:05 at Belmont at Aqueduct. Gulfstream Park is next. Gulfstream Park, their pick 6 Rainbow Jackpot carryover, $116,409. And their first post time for 9 races, 10:10. Then we go north of the border at Woodbine. Woodbine has 9 races today. Their feature race comes early in the card. It's the third race. It's the $100,000 King Corey Stakes at 7 furlongs for three-year-olds. A short field of 5. 4-5 favorite there is My Boy Prince with Mr. Savici aboard. First post time is 10:10 at Woodbine. Their super high 5 jackpot carryover, $64,798. First post time, 10:10 at Woodbine today. Hawthorne Racecourse has 9 races. The Hawthorne's Racecourse first post time is 12:40. Their feature race is the $75,000 third chance handicap. That'll be the 6th race on the card. First race post time at Hawthorne, 12:40. Then we get to Santa Anita. Santa Anita today has 9 races. First post time, 1 o'clock. Their feature race is right smack dab in the middle of the 9 race card. The 5th race is the Desert Code at 6.5 furlongs on the turf course for 3-year-olds. 6 go to the post in this one. 9-5 favorite there is King of Gosford with Antonio Freisou that had a nice 3-win day yesterday. That is the feature race, the 5th on the card. Again, Santa Anita's first post time today is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Emerald Downs has 9 races. Their first post time is 1:30. 1:30 at Emerald Downs. Then you have Prairie Meadows. They have 8 races. Their first post time at Prairie Meadows is at 2 o'clock. They've got a pick 5 jackpot carryover at Prairie Meadows of $14,550. $14,550 in a pick 5 jackpot carryover at Prairie Meadows. First post time is 2 o'clock for their 8 races. And then we wrap it up at Los Alamitos in Southern California. Los Alamitos, first post time for their 10-race card is 5:45. 2 mixed breed races, 3 thoroughbreds, 5 quarter horses that include the Derby, which is at 400 yards for 3-year-olds. That'll be the 6th race on the card. And again, Los Alamitos, first post time is at 5:45. That's your racing menu for today. Wow. All right. Let's go to Jonathan Hardoon. We're going to go over the races yesterday at Pimlico. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Good. Assessment, first of all, of the action yesterday at Pimlico.
I don't know. It was a crazy day. It was raining, not raining. Some horses took to the track. Some horses didn't. You know, it was just you either handled the track, you didn't. Weather certainly had a lot to do with it and certainly gave a lot of trainers excuses for some of the bad performances. Before I begin, congratulations to John Lindo. What a great, great day he had. And people that listened yesterday, certainly, if you listened to him, you had an opportunity to make some money. So
well, we know you guys do the hard work, and it's all a matter of, you know, going up and down with our handicappers. It's a flow thing, that's for sure. But you guys do a hard work. And yesterday, just so happens that the Lindo report for Pimlico really knocked it out of the park here. Because his Lindo report for Pimlico Racecourse covered 10 races overall. They were races 4 through, of course, the Preakness Stakes, the 13th race. And out of those 10 races, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 winners out of his top 3 selections. Of course, his 2 top selections that really made it happen for him yesterday was the Jim McKay and the Dinner Party Stakes. You guys, I guess, didn't see the gray coming, as far as the Preakness Stakes. But I got to tell you, throughout the day, when we got closer to that race, I said, you know what? There's an old saying, you always bet the gray in the mud. And so me and some of my partners here today playing the races yesterday included him in our gimmicks, that's for sure. But let's get started with the Pimlico races. The first of the stakes races was the Skip Pat Stakes. That winner there was Apple Picker. $8.40, and he was 7-5 on the morning line, but the horse went up in price. This was Sheldon Russell's already second win of the day for his wife, Brittany Russell. Second was Swall was second, and Late Frost was third. Then we went to the Chick Lang at 6 furlongs. That winner there, Frost Free. Irad Ortiz Jr. rides for Brett Creighton there at 560. That was the favorite, outrunning Cats by 5. Which is the horse that you liked, and Mr. Skylight, which is the horse that John liked. Then we went to the Gallarette. By that time, they had labeled officially the turf course again as soft. It was soft. There was raining coming down, but they labeled the race as soft. It was decimated by late scratches, and the winner there was Fluffy Socks, who was placed a lot closer earlier in the race than usual, ran down the pace setter and got the win there for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz Jr. Irad, second win of the day, dead favorite there, 320, outrunning Five Towns and Ticalera. And then we went to the Maryland Sprint. That race won by Super Chow. We went right to the lead and never looked back. Super Chow, Javier Castellano picked up that mount for trainer Jorge Delgado, 1040 on the win there, outrunning Prevalence and Prince of Jericho. Then we got to the James W. Murphy on the soft turf course at a mile. Bull Mineiro. Full Monero, Flavian Pratt aboard for Arnold de la Cour, and the winner paid $6.60. That was John Lindo's top pick, one of John Lindo's exacta picks, I should say, on the show. Finishing second was Crystal Quest, which was his top pick, so I guess he could have boxed his top two and got the exacta there. Ab Brumar was third in that race. Then the Sir Barton. The winner there was a Corporate Power. This horse under Javier Castellano for Shug McGahey was much the best in this race. Jonathan, I know you saw the race. This horse was at least 3, 4, and sometimes 5 wide around the entire racetrack.
It's amazing. And he was done at the top of the stretch, and he re-rallied. There was a claim of foul. I don't know what the claim of foul was about, but they dropped the flag there, and he was clearly the best horse in the race, and he ran like a mile and a quarter,
yeah,
a lot longer than everyone else did in the race.
That's for sure. Javi was getting his second win of the day, Castellano, and it was a 540 winner there, so the public had that right. Gould's Gold, a pick from John Lindo. By the way, you picked Corporate Power in that race, so you got the win there. John's horse ran second, Gould's Gold, and finishing third was another horse that John liked in the exacta, Imperial Gun. And then we went to the Jim McKay at 5 furlongs on the turf there. And the winner there, Grooms All Business, John Lindo's pick on the show, Jorge Ruiz for Jorge de Dorte Jr., paid $13.60 for the win there. Outrunning Witty, which was your pick, so you guys came up with the exact again there. Smooth B was third in that race. Then we got to the Dinner Party at 1 1/8 on the turf. The winner there was Bolitnikov, and another horse that John really liked on the show. Bolitnikov came from last to first. If you saw this race, you would have never thought he could get up, but Bolitnikov did do that for Frankie Dettori and Phil D'Amato, paying $12.80. Second in the race was a big long shot, Crabs and Beer. Running B was third. And then we got to the main event, of course, the Preakness Stakes, where Seize the Gray seized the track at the beginning and just ran around that muddy racetrack as though he loved that the mud. A couple of shots came at him, but he weathered the storm and weathered the mile and 3/16, went gate to wire under Jamie Torres for D. Wayne Lucas, 88-year-old trainer D. Wayne Lucas, who was getting his 7th Preakness win. Now he's only one behind Baffert in winning that race. Seize the Gray paid $21.60. Mystic Dan was gallant in a defeat. He ran second. Catching Freedom sucked up to be third in that race. And all I can say is Imagination, who was sitting right off of Seize the Gray early, sitting right off of him, looked like he was in the catbird seat in the race and came up completely empty, Jonathan.
Yeah, he packed it in after halfway through the race. Obviously, he couldn't handle the track. I mean, you know, that was just a poor performance. Tuscan Gold was wiped out at the start, so he had an excuse. listen, the three horses that ran on Derby Day all came back, and they ran 1, 2, 3. So when that's going to happen, I'm going to get clobbered because I don't like playing those horses that come right back out of those races. And I was wrong. And whoever played them got rewarded. You know, it's pretty good stretching out from the Pat Day Mile to be able to go a mile and 3/16ths, but on 2 weeks rest. But Lucas did it, and he deserves all the credit. It just shows you the highs and lows of the game. He wins the race with Seize the Gray, and then he has the other horse that he had in the race, Just Steel, got a condylar fracture, so he'll be out for a while if he's not going to be retired. I guess they'll make the decision. But that's just crazy. You're high on the top of the world winning the race, and then you have bad news that goes with it.
All I can tell you as far as that race is concerned, remember, Seize the Gray was trying to get into the Kentucky Derby. He didn't make the cut. So they went in another race on Derby Day. That was the Pat Day Mile, and he really did run an impressive big race in the Pat Day Mile. And then they come back yesterday. And as we have said so many times on the show, and so many other people in racing have said, that the Dwayne Lucas's MO is, look, if these horses are eaten up in the morning and they're doing well and they're performing well on the racetrack in the morning, doing their exercises and all that, there's no reason why you can't bring a horse back in 2 weeks as long as he's doing well. And I guess by virtue of his victory, Seize the Gray certainly was doing well.
Well, he's old school, Ralph. You don't get trainers like that anymore. He's been around forever, and it was great. Like you mentioned earlier in the opening, the amount of respect and love shown for him, really. I mean, people were just so happy for him. It was a great thing to see. You don't see that in this world, and you don't see that in sports anymore. And everybody, you know, made sure that they congratulated him, and it was just a nice thing to see.
And, you know, the thing about it is the horse was owned by the My Racehorse conglomerate, which means there were
2,500 people owned a piece of that horse. 2,500 people. You know what they're going to get for it? $3.44.
Well, that doesn't matter.
$3.44.
The money isn't as important, as you know, as the people in regular race players, like the players are out
of
here
course.
In the books. That's the only way they'll have a chance to have the feeling of an ownership. And when you have a feeling of an ownership, and even if you have medicinal
a hair on the
you could say you won the Preakness Stakes, and that's really what it's all about. It's just like the shareholders of the Green Bay Packers. You know, the entire town owned the Green Bay Packers, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just a piece of paper, but it's the story and their want and love for the sport that really matters. As a matter of fact, one of those 2,500 owners was at our Kentucky Derby seminar here at the South Point on Kentucky Derby Eve, and told us that they thought they had a good chance of winning the Pat Day the next day, and they did. And all I got to say is I hope they're listening right now, because we want to congratulate you so much. They were such nice people to meet right here at the South Point. And, of course, they'll get their $3 check and enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a great thing for the game. It just is. I think it's good. People are against, you know, those kind of partnerships. But listen, like you said, they're going to get to pound their chest this morning and say they own a horse or a piece of a horse that won the Preakness. So you can never take that away from them. Down the stretch, we're at the 16th pole. I'm rooting for Mystic Dan, because if that point, if he happens to get up, could you imagine how crazy Saratoga would be with the possibility of a Triple Crown winner? And they came pretty close to having that chance.
I could say this, although we won't be going for a Triple Crown winner now, we'll wait and see if Mystic Dan wants to go in the rubber match and go on to the Belmont Stakes. Remember, it's only a mile and a quarter, not a mile and a half, in 3 weeks. But also we have some other dynamics that are working, especially for race players, that I think is going to be really neat. First of all, we got to find out if Imagination will come back if he had a bad race. We'll find out from Baffert what happened there. But even if he doesn't, Muth will hopefully not pitch another fever and make it to the Belmont Stakes. Then, of course, you got Fierceness, who was such a disappointment in the Kentucky Derby and skipped the Preakness, and will be heading now for the Belmont Stakes. And then Sierra Leone, which was in that three-horse dramatic finish in the Kentucky Derby, he's looking forward to going to the Belmont Stakes, as well as the horse that you liked in the Kentucky Derby, Honor Marie. They got wiped out at the start of the Kentucky Derby. So there's a lot of great dynamics going on, This is going to be one heck of a Belmont Stakes no matter what.
This Belmont Stakes going to have more interest in it than any Belmont Stakes has had since the possibility of a Triple Crown winner, I guess. I mean, look who's showing up. Fierceness, who, by the way, we know what he does. He has an in-and-out line. He runs a good race, bad race, good race, bad race. Well, guess what? He's coming off the bad race, so it's time for him to run the good race. You're going to have Sierra Leone, who had all kinds of trouble, who's up here now already training. And by the way, so is Fierceness. And like you said, you have other shooters that were in there, Anna Marie, and Muth is going to be there. This is going to be a terrific race. This is going to be a terrific, terrific race.
Not to mention the fact that you got the Peter Pan winner out there, which is the New York prep for the Belmont Stakes, and a few other horses that are coming into their own late in their three-year-old development that might show up in that race as well. And besides that, I understand that they're doing it upright up there at Saratoga for the short Belmont meet, which is, I guess, about a week. How long is it, Jonathan?
I think it's going to be four racing days.
Four racing days. They're loading it up with a lot of stakes races for all divisions. It's going to be a festival of racing up there at Saratoga, and I can't wait to have you on the scene there for us and certainly handicapping and watching and betting those races. Officially, here's your finish. Seize the Gray wins it. A Mystic Dan was second. Catching Freedom was third. Tuscan Gold, after that horrible start, finished fourth. Then you had Just Steel, who, as we said, had a condylar fracture. He managed to finish fifth. Uncle Heavy was sixth. Imagination, who pressed and was sitting in the catbird seat behind Seize the Gray first time past the stands, ambled in seventh. And Mugatoo was eighth and final in the race. And that's how the Preakness Stakes went yesterday. But I can tell you, you're right. There were a lot of kind of unusual results from yesterday. And you don't know how much track conditions and turf conditions played in the performances of both the horses who won and the horses who didn't fire yesterday.
Well, if you didn't fire, you certainly had an excuse. They were busy sealing the track, unsealing the track, opening it up, harrowing it. You know, they didn't just, I don't know. It's just the way the day went. It was a little of everything, I guess, for everyone. They ended up taking two races off the grass. They took the first race off before they started the early pick five. And then the fifth race came off the grass as well. And people were already locked in, so that became an all race. So, I don't know. They probably should have taken those earlier races off. They weren't stake races. So what was really the point to keep them on the turf? I think it only hurt the turf course, to be honest with you. But they took them off, and more confusion for the players.
Well, like Churchill Downs on Derby Day, the day after, they're still cleaning up the mess there, and that's what they're doing at Pimlico today, so no racing at Pimlico. But I can tell you this, it's going to be a lot of fun to start handicapping and seeing the horses that are going to be making it up to the Belmont Stakes. And again, remember, it's not a mile and a half. It's not the test of the champions. It'll be a mile and a quarter, which will be very unusual at Saratoga because Saratoga has the most important midsummer derby, which is the Traverse Stakes, which will be up there at Saratoga in August at the same distance at a mile and a quarter. So
mile and a quarter.
It's going to be a fun
midsummer classic, they call it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, that's for sure. All right. Well, Virginia, there is racing after the Preakness Stakes, and it is today. So what are we doing today here, Jonathan?
Well, you have a double carryover at Aqueduct. And by the way, we had a winner yesterday at Aqueduct, so we got off of a bit of a
snide. Yes, you did.
We weren't having that great a week, but a $12 horse certainly helps.
You're darn right. Solid winner there, Jonathan. It really was.
Yeah, terrific ride by Romero Murat. Never left the wood, and he tipped out and just got up to win. So great ride. Anyway, sixth race today at Belmont, 6 furlongs on the main track, and I have a pick six single for everybody. Number six, Play. 4-year-old gelding from the Linda Rice Barn, Jose Lascano aboard to ride. He's listed at 7-2 on the morning line. He is loose on the lead here. Number six, Play, wins today's sixth race out at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct, Aqueduct at Belmont, whatever you want to call it.
We just want to call it a winner there at the New York racetrack, let's say. Sixth race, number six, Play. We're going to play number six, Play, Lascano and Rice. I got to tell you, every time I look, Lascano's in the winner's circle. 90% of the time it's on a Linda Rice horse. I would love to get a stat on their win percentage together, because it seems like they're always getting there, and that's for sure. So you got the hot ticket here in the sixth race, the six horse play at Belmont at Aqueduct with a 2-day carryover, right, in the pick six?
Yeah, over $100,000. It's a dollar ticket, and it got full fields today. It's a good sequence.
Jump in the pool, that's for sure. All right, where next?
Let's go to Santa Anita, look at their ninth and final race. And I like the number three horse in here, When Heroes Fly. Three-year-old colt from the George Papadromo barn, Diego Herrera, aboard to ride. He's listed at 4-1 on the morning line. He made a big forward move last time out. He's worked well since that race. He's got some time. Number three, When Heroes Fly, graduates and wins today's ninth and final out at Santa Anita.
All right. In the ninth and final race today at Santa Anita, you like the three. When Heroes Fly, the three horse in the ninth race, Santa Anita, to wrap up the weekend for us. And, of course, you have full sheets both for Santa Anita Aqueduct, and you're doing Churchill as well, right?
Yes, sir. I didn't play last night. It was just too much. I don't know how anybody could have done that, but they recharged the batteries, I guess.
Yeah.
They came back for more.
All right. You got it. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Yeoman's job this weekend. Hey, look, take a couple of days off. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Gee, thanks, Ralph. I need them. I appreciate it.
All right. You got it, my man.
Have a great day. Stay safe and be well. Thank you.
You got it. All right, coming up next, we got Rich Eng standing by, so don't go away on this day after. We still got a lot to do. We'll be right back.
Who is there for heroes, for the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Alrighty, back on the Race Day Las Vegas show for wrapping it up for this weekend, covering horse racing Las Vegas style. Of course, we'll be back next week at our usual start time during the week, and that's on Wednesdays. We'll go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a special Monday Memorial Day show next week. So we got a 6-day run there. Now we're going to go to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie.
Well, your thoughts of yesterday?
Well, you know, you got to root for the coach. I mean, Dwayne Lucas is an amazing, amazing person, amazing trainer. And if I could use like a Wayne Gretzky line where he talks about you can't score a goal 100% of the shots you don't make, Dwayne Lucas should say something like, you will lose 100% of the races that you don't run in. So he runs. And he wins a lot of them that don't look like he's supposed to. But congratulations.
Good analogy there, that's for sure, Richie. And all I can say is, Dwayne Lucas, you know, people, I don't, there's a lot of, well, during my generation, I know that when Lucas first started out, Lucas was the first one to start having divisional stables. In other words, he was the first of the trainers that started having a division in California, one in Kentucky, et cetera. He was the first one that started that. Now, all the successful trainers, of course, do that as well. And all of the trainers that he has tutored in his time that has worked with him, like guys like Todd Pletcher, et cetera, They have gone on. They've learned their lessons well. So he's more than just a great trainer. He's a great tutor as well. And at one time, he was a college basketball coach. You know that?
Well, that's why they call him Coach.
The coach, that's right.
he was a college basketball coach in high school. I mean, a high school coach. And, yeah. You know, Dwayne off the plane was something that we used to hear about back in the 80s and the 90s because of Lucas. And his trainer tree, you touched upon it. His trainer tree is probably the most impressive of any trainer in the sports history.
I think three trainers that stand out as far as that is concerned would be, of course, Dwayne Lucas, Charlie Whittingham, and Bobby Frankel. They have really, the people that worked under those trainers went on, Chad Brown, a Frankel disciple. So, yeah, good stuff there. Well, Richie, there is racing after the Preakness Stakes, and while we get geared up for a big holiday weekend coming up next week, we want to make some money today, and we was helped out yesterday by John Lindo. So what are you doing for us today?
Let's go to race number 7 today at Santa Anita. It's a marathon on the grass, mile and a quarter. I like the number 5 horse, Big Hat Willie. I know the 2-1 price, but this horse shows a preference for turf. Won it a mile last time out, now stretches a little further, but should get just an absolutely perfect trip. So let's go with the 5, Big Hat Willie, race 7, Sandita.
All right, let's get Big Hat in the winner's circle for a big win in the 7th race, the 5, Big Hat Willie, 7th race, number 5, Big Hat Willie at Santa Anita, Rich Ang's selection. Don't forget, Richie's got a full sheet available right now for all of Santa Anita today at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. And Richie, I will say to you, as well as all of our handicappers on this show, yeoman's job this week, that's for sure. Rest up, because we got a six-day run next week, that's for sure.
Hey, thanks, Ralph, and good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. When we come back, we got our closing act, John and Jerry. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Now we're going to go out to Southern California. The man of the day yesterday, and he is certainly one of the men of the day here on the Race Day Show all the time, John Lindo. And John, your Lindo Report was rocking and rolling yesterday for Pimlico. They couldn't keep enough of them out here on the counter at the South Point. What a day you had, man. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Ralph. Had a good day. I hope we cashed some tickets there at the South Point, and it was fun, and dealing through all those weather changes was interesting.
Certainly was. They sealed the track, then they opened it, then they sealed it, then the turf was labeled soft, then it got softer, and bada-bing, bada-bing, bada-bong, the rain came, and it came pretty heavy just before the Preakness Stakes, and seized the gray, seized the track, and loved the slop.
I tell you what, he got the half mile in that Preakness in 47-1, which was very, very fast on the day, and he kept going. I thought it was a pretty legit win, and from what I understand, it looks like he'll be pointed to the Belmont, so you know he'll be the horse to catch.
Well, you know, if he's eating up right, Dwayne Lucas say, hey, look, you got an extra week off. Don't worry about it, horse. We're running.
That's right. He'll be coming off a layoff.
Nice win yesterday by Phil D'Amato with Biletnikoff in the dinner party stakes just before the Preakness. It was your top selection, not only on the sheet, but certainly during our seminar yesterday morning. And all I can say is, man, we know where he comes from. We know he comes from last, but boy, did he get a nice trip. He followed right through, cut the corner, and DeTore did a great job in winning that race for D'Amato.
You love watching guys like Frankie DeTore do their job. You know, he's used to riding on that soft turf when he was over in Europe and saved as much ground as he could. But down the stretch, he wanted to be down the middle of that turf course. And he found a way to get off the fence and had all the momentum there. And you know, we don't get a chance to run on conditions like that in Southern California. And some of these horses will move forward when they get a little bit of different circumstances. And that's the case with Belnikov.
You know, all I can tell you is that for most of the races yesterday, there will be built-in excuses for a lot of the horses that didn't perform as people thought they would because of the track condition. But any scuttlebutt that you heard from in Southern California after the disappointment of Imagination?
No, it just looked to me in the race like Frankie Dettori did not want to go ahead and head with Seize the Gray early. He was keeping him five and six lanes off the fence. And he didn't look like he was handling the track that well. He was on the wrong lead. And it, you know, he just never looked like he was into the bid and leveling off and going smooth. So assuming he comes back in good shape, we'll see what they decide to do with him next.
Yeah, he looked like an unhappy horse in the race, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any other of the races yesterday that impressed you? Because you were probably spending a lot of time at the cashier's line.
Well, that's a good thing. In general, you know, I was the one thing that bothered me again, John Hardy mentioned that they took that fifth race off the grass, which they should have done, but they should have did it before the first race. You should have taken both those maiden races off. Ended up being an all race to end that first pick five and first pick four. And that's just not a good thing for the horse players. We look out for everything else. Let's look out for the horse players once in a while, too.
Yeah, that's something you're absolutely right. And I got to tell you, the second race was a $79.40 upsetter. And all I can say is that, if you had that horse, the last thing you wanted to do is see the last race in that sequence and all.
Exactly. If you've done the hard work, you should get paid for it. And, it's unfortunate, but I do think they had the opportunity to do it and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And as far as the stewards were concerned there, and the Sir Barton, boy, they threw up that inquiry real quick. But that determination was less than a minute. They looked at it and said, nope, no change.
Now, that's how it's supposed to be done. Let the fans know you're looking at it and make a decision and let's get on with it. And that's exactly what they did. Kudos to the stewards there in Baltimore.
Well, John, you left one winner off the Preakness analysis to give us a winner at Santa Anita yesterday as well. Your horse came in yesterday on the race day show and paid $8.80. So let's hope you still got a bag full of winners today.
Gonna try. I tell you what, we'll go to the first race today, Ralph, at Santa Anita. In the first race, number six, Player B. I don't think he liked the downhill turf course sprinting as much as he likes the flat course. He gets back on the flat course today, gets a nice class drop without being in for a claiming tag. Ought to get a good stocking trip from the outside post. 3-1 on the morning line, number six, Player B, race one at Santa Anita, first post, 1 p.m.
All right, you got an opening race at Santa Anita today, 1 o'clock post time, Pacific time. In the first race, you like the six, Player B, the six in the first race. At Santa Anita today, don't forget to get the Linda Report available right here, only here in Las Vegas and only here at the South Point Racebook. And it is free of charge, exclusively complimentary to you, because they love horse players and those horse players loved that Linda Report yesterday. That's for sure. John, you did a yeoman's job all weekend. Enjoyed the 2 days off. We got a 6-day run next week.
Looking forward to it, Ralph. Memorial Day weekend, a lot of good racing at Santa Anita next weekend. Fingers crossed.
Fantastic. Thanks, my man.
All right. Good luck today.
All right. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, I would have to think that the winner of the Preakness Stakes just loved the mud.
Hidamata. Well, it's true. His first two races, even though they were short sprints, were on the mud, and he was fantastic there. He hit the wet track yesterday, and he just took off like in the old days, you would get on the racing form, you would get next to his name an X with a circle around it.
Yeah, that's the highest mud mark you can get in the old days, the symbol on the racing form.
You see very few of them, but he apparently is one of those that just does really run very well on the mud. And, they're hard to handicap, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure. The racing conditions, you either liked it or you didn't yesterday, and it was. I'm just happy that most of the horses came back safe and sound, except for, of course, the Lucas.
But you could see with your eye the horses that weren't handling, and it was fairly evident. And but he ran beautifully. I mean, he ran very well. So.
And what about Dwayne Lucas, huh?
D Yeah, really. 89 years old.
Yeah.
And yeah, he keeps at it. And yeah, that's, you know, that's what we really have to do in life. And the same thing with any of our passions is just have a passion and stay with it. You know, that's,
well,
that's you,
we have a passion. We have a passion to get some winners out of you today, Jerry. The Power Pages, of course, full Power Pages for Santa Anita and Belmont at Aqueduct. That's for sure. And what are we doing today?
Okay, well, we'll go to the fifth race at Aqueduct. Let me click over here.
Okay, click over there.
Number six, Superstar Susan in the fifth race. Mm-hmm. Dave Duncan comes back, first lay six. This is a three-year-old who hasn't raced since her two-year-old year, November 19th. And really, the one turf race was really excellent, really handled it very, very well. And today, what do you know, we're back on the turf for her first try. And I think she's just going to come back running today. 4-1 seems very fair. The $40,000 claiming tag means she's racing. It's probably a little softer group than what she had been facing before. I think it's a reasonable wager down to maybe 5-2. I'll take the 6 over the 129, reverse 129 over the 6. But the 6, Superstar Susan, that'll be our feature play on Pop Out Key in race number 5 today at the Big A.
All right. All the also eligibles are scratch 11 on down to 16 in this race. The 6 is the key. The link-ups are 1, 2, and 9 and reverse. That the fifth race at Aqueduct and now Santa Anita.
Okay. And we're going to go to the 9th race here. And what do you know? We have the same kind of play. We have a three-year-old who last raced October 29th of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back now this year. First time. And we expect this colt to be bigger, faster, stronger, just like we hope Superstar Susan will be.
Okay.
First time Lasix, because now he's a three-year-old, and first time in a claimer. All of the same, exactly the same handicapping ideas.
Okay.
Good horse, good figures, Richard Baltus, top trainer. Again, we'll play the 5 over the 2, 4, 6, and 7, do our reverses.
All right. 9th and final, the 5 over 2, 4, 6, 7, and reverse. And, of course, Jonathan Ardoon came in that race, so I got a Sirocco play for the final play for this week at Santa Anita 9th race. He likes the 3, so we got the 3-5-5-3 exacta box for the Sirocco play. You like
the 5. I'll add the 3 into my play.
Okay, the 5 over 1, 3, 4, 6, and 7. Power Pages available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. That's it. Jerry, say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.